Thank you all for coming today to the house of the Lord. We greet you all in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming to show your love and your support to the Britton family. Just before we have our pastor come this morning, or this afternoon rather, let us sing a song together. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appeared the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy ran, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. And my chains are gone, I've been set. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy ran, unending love, amazing grace. And the earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbid to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Lift Him up now. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love.
Could we sing that again? My chains.
I think I can safely say today that none of us expected to be here. None of us expected we would be here today. But we are here to remember Eli, to celebrate his time with us. We all knew him differently, some as a son, some as a friend, some as a brother, some as a grandson, some as a church member. But we are all here today not to remember what may have been. We are not here to think about what may have been done differently. We are not here to assign blame, nor are we here to say what if and if only. None of that matters now. Our appointed time on this earth here is appointed by God and no one else. I'd like to quote Eli's father, Sam. He told me a couple of times this week already. He said, "When I see Eli next, I'll say to him, 'Son, you jumped the line. You got in ahead of us.'" There's an old Hebrew proverb that says, and I think it's appropriate for us today, "Say not in grief, 'He is no more,' but live in thankfulness that he was." Say not in grief that he is gone, but rather in thankfulness that he was. People very often want ministers to preside over weddings and funerals, and we do. But sometimes they think that what we say really matters. But at weddings, people really marry themselves by reciting their vows. They make their declaration in front of God and the people. We, as ministers, are simply witnesses and we're representatives of the kingdom. As for funerals, Eli is the one who wrote the script for today. Because what we say will never change his destiny or alter his outcome. We are simply witnesses and representatives of the kingdom. And I can assure you today that God looks at death differently than we look at it. And the death of the righteous is no accident with God. So we pause today to remember Eli. We pause today to remember Eli and declare what he meant to us. We rejoice over the fact that from our perspective, Eli was making his way home. And as we begin today, we would like to call upon Brother Scott Smith to open up in a word of prayer. And after he comes, we're going to invite Brother Yvonne Carrion to come and say a few words. Brother Scott.
We bow our heads. Father, Lord, it's in times like these that we further realize that we can't make it without you. Lord, we thank you today for the Britton family. We thank you for Eli. Lord, we thank you for sharing 20 years of his life on this side of eternity. Lord, that we could all be a part of it. Lord, we just pray today as believers. We stand here as believers. Lord, and in times like these, believers believe more. Lord, I just heard just this week where, Lord, things like this forces believers to believe you even more. And Lord, we don't withdraw from you today, but we draw closer. Lord, we pray that you'd just put your hand around the Britton family today. Oh God, like only you can. Grant them the mercy needed, Lord. You're truly a comforter in these times. Lord, we just pray, have your way in what would be said. We love you. We look forward to seeing him again, God. We believe you today, God. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
May God bless all. Can I ask you to stand for a moment? I'd like to start with just a reading of verse of scripture here, Psalms 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of the mercy of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. May God add his blessings to the hearing and speaking of his word. You may be seated. We want to thank everyone for coming. Brother Sam asked me to say a few words here about Eli and maybe a small exhortation. I asked him how long, and he said, whatever God puts on your heart. We want to thank everyone for coming and their support. I want to say that the way that you supported Brother Sam and his wife and the family, and grandparents, the children, everyone that's been affected by this has been a real example to me. I'm really, really impressed at the way that this church and this community has rallied around this family. It's been an example to me. It's proof that Brother Barry and the other ministers that are present, they may have representatives of their church here. It's proof that you're preaching the gospel correctly, because it should produce this sort of thing. The way the response, the meals that were cooked and the way they were helping at the home, and just really, really touching to me as a pastor. It's what we want to achieve. That's what our goal is. The gospel should produce this kind of love. We grieve the loss of Brother Eli. His parting has caused a profound effect upon my own life. I've learned as a minister that the strongest and most effective way to minister is to minister by your own experience. We can't preach about someone else's experience. We have to preach about our own. And so I have to take these few words to tell you how this has affected me and why this has affected me so much. It's not about me. Naturally, this is about Eli and the family. But Brother Branham's words come back to me. I knelt to pray last Thursday when I got the phone call, and immediately it came to me, have you done enough? Did you do enough for Brother Eli? Did you do enough for the Britton family? And Brother Branham tells us in the message of the hour that eternal life is serving one another. God is good all the time. And we have that anchor in our heart that everything is working for our good. As long as we love God, as long as we keep that focus that everything that's working, everything that's happening in our life is happening for an eternal purpose. It's God moving in our midst. I told my church last Sunday, God is a great chess master. And he's moved the pawn. And we don't understand why he moved that pawn. Moved it from here to heaven. But God knows exactly what he's doing. He's 20, 30, 40, 50 moves ahead of us. And in this particular case, when I got the phone call, I said, Lord, you've checkmated me. I'm checkmated. We're all checkmated. It's time to take an accounting of our own lives. And that thought came to me, have you done enough? Philippians, the first chapter tells us, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve all things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Notice, you can't have good judgment, and you'll not be able to approve the things that are excellent unless you abound in love. That's the secret. The more you enter into God's love, the better your judgment is, the more knowledge you gain. that you might be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. There is no other way to achieve sound judgment. Only the love of God will produce true knowledge and judgment in order for us to be able to approve things that are excellent. Without the love of God, we'll never be found in proper judgment, in correct judgment, and proper knowledge, and never be able to approve those things that are excellent. I knew Brother Eli as a baby. I knew him as a boy. I knew him as a teenager, and I knew him as a man. And I found that there were constants in his life, things that never changed. And those things, I'm speaking on a personal note now, the way I perceived him, Brother Eli was always respectful to me personally. He was always loving. I thought it strange that a teenager would come running up to me and embrace me and kiss me on the cheek. Constantly did that to my wife. Every time he saw my wife, he'd run running up to her, and he called her mom and he'd kiss her on the cheek. He was here with us at Thanksgiving, and he did the same thing there when he entered the banquet hall. Just come bounding up, and Brother Yvonne, I love you, Brother Yvonne. He kissed me on the cheek. Always friendly. He was always sweet and always very tender-hearted. He always demonstrated the fear of God. I was very happy to know that he was seeking the things of God and really trying to do what's right and serve the Lord. Eli has heard his last sermon, and we now believe that he is in the presence of God. God is faithful. And I drove my stake down years ago. Our children can't be lost because we pray and God hears the prayers of the righteous. Our children can't be lost. God doesn't throw our prayer away. He doesn't delete our prayers at the death of a loved one. God hears those prayers. He's faithful. His promises are true. We are absolutely certain that he's now rejoicing with the saints that have gone on before us all. It is us that are present in this service that must now continue to hear the word of God. At receiving the news of his departing, I prayed, and immediately, I'll repeat, I heard this voice. Did you do enough for Eli? And so omitting Brother Sam and Sister Nadia and the family, the immediate family, I would like to ask each and every person present the same question. Did you do enough for Eli? Are you doing enough for the young people, for your neighbor, for the brother in Christ that sits next to you? Eternal life is serving one another. We say amen to that when we hear the prophet say it on the tape. But are we living that part of the message? He interpreted Galatians 2:20 for us. Let me read it for you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, after the crucifixion, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said that eternal life was living for others. The prophet interpreted that for us. He said eternal life, being crucified with Christ, means you are living for others. The prophet of this day interpreted it that way. The life that we live now should be a life that demonstrates the same life, the same love that Christ made Christ go and become a sacrifice to save the lost. We cannot demonstrate that kind of life unless we judge ourselves. Once again, have we done enough? Are we doing enough? Are we so caught up in our own lives that we forget what the purpose of the gospel is? To demonstrate the love of God by living for one another. A self-examination is necessary in order for us to be able to discern whether we are living this Christian life in the same way as our beloved Savior. Once again, I want to repeat that we are excluding Brother Sam and Sister Nadia because obviously they've done everything they can do for their son. There was nothing held back. They put forth every effort to raise him right and do whatever they could for their son. But we, if we are part of this mystical body called the Bride of Christ, then we should be exercising ourselves in this body in order to edify it in love. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up unto him, or into him, in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth." So it's not just the pastor. Every member, every joint is supplying something to the body, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every one of us are part of this mystical body, and we all have a part in the edification of this body. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God's building is built with love. And every one of us is supposed to supply the need of the body in that particular moment. Thank you so much for doing that here in Hickory and helping the family through this tragedy, this horrific tragedy that's occurred. As Brother Barry said, God looks at death differently than we do. We see it as a tragedy. God looks at it as a victory. And he's there on the other side waiting on us now. As a pastor, I've learned that the devil is a very selfish devil that lives for himself and his pleasures and ambitions. The body of Christ must recognize that our burden, your burden, is my burden. Paul admonished us to examine ourselves, see if we are living by the word and drinking of that cup that he drank, that we should be examining ourselves and living by the example that Christ has set for us. Brother Eli was a young man. For the young men in this church, I have a word for you. He was a young man. God uses young men in the scriptures in many glorious ways. Yes. It was young men in Exodus 24 that offered the burnt sacrifices after Moses had written down the words that God had given. In the book of Joshua, it was young men that were spies that brought out Rahab and her parents and her brethren and all of her kindred. In the book of Acts, it was young men that took out the bodies of Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Spirit. See, they took out the sin out of the church. In the book of Titus, it was young men that were admonished to be sober-minded. In our self-examination, can we approve of the things, the excellent things in our lives? Can we approve of the way we've lived our lives? We're not here to bring condemnation on anyone. The Lord's Supper is approaching in my church at Easter time. We always preach these kind of messages and try to get people to meditate and think on themselves. As Brother Barry here, we're not here to assign blame to anybody. The life has been lived. The life is now departed. We are left with our testimony, with our young people. I've made my mind up. I was away last month on a little vacation, and a pastor told me something that really, really struck me. And he said, "Brother Yvonne, it's our duty to make disciples. We make disciples, and then we turn them over to Christ." And that really struck me. I said, "Brother, I've always believed that. I just never put it in quite those words. We have to do more." Has the love of God produced the fruits of the Spirit in our life? According to Paul, it should. If we abound in love, the fruits of the Spirit will follow. Can we say we're living a life that exemplifies this message that we believe? As I said, Eli has heard his last sermon. His parting has left a great mark in my soul, and I realize that this question that has come to me will stay with me until my parting, whether in death or in the great rapture day that we're looking for. Brother Sam and Sister Nadia, the grandparents, Brother Manuel and Ligia, Sister Janet, the siblings, me and Leah and Noah, the aunt, Viviana. I assure you that one day in the very near future, we will see his smiling face again. God's promises are true. Just as Rahab was saved along with all of her house, God promises that we will, that we that believe the gospel have an assurance that we will share in the joy of the Lord in the presence of God in the not too distant future. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. May God bless you all. Brother Barry.
Thank you, Brother Ivan. Amen. Sister Mia, Matthew, and a couple of others are going to come to sing. We're so thankful for all of you that are here, those of you that have come such a long way today to be a part of this service, and not only in here, but outside the sanctuary. We have a full fellowship hall over here as well. We have people who are streaming online. And we're just so thankful that all of you are here today. Four pastors of Eli are all here in the building today, and we're thankful for that. It speaks of Eli's, you know, his personality and how people loved him and how people loved the family and cared for him. And he was, I think I can agree with Brother Ivan, that he was just always so respectful. Even in his darkest times, he never said anything negative at all to me, and are just so thankful for a young man that respects the Lord and respects the Bible and respects the elders, and we appreciate that.
Shattered by the fall, broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the King into the Master's court, lifted by the Savior and cradled in his arms. I was carried to the table, seated where I don't belong. Carried to the table, swept away by brokenness anymore. Seated at the table of the Lord, carried to the table, the table of the Lord, fighting thoughts of fear, wondering why he called my name. Am I good enough to share this cup? This world has left me lame. And even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. And in his holy presence, I'm healed and unashamed. Table, seated where I don't belong, carried to the table, swept away by him. to the table.
Thank you, girls. We appreciate that. David wrote these words in Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5. He said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days and what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. And verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Now, David uses some interesting phrases there, and he says, Lord, make me to understand what it means that my days are numbered. And that means that I want to take advantage of every day that I have, because I don't know how many days I will have. As a matter of fact, in the Hebrew, it sounds like this, that everyone, no matter how firmly he stands, is merely a puff of wind. No matter how strong we think we are, he said, everyone, this is David's words, he said, yet everyone is merely a puff of wind. And he said, you've made my life like a handbreadth. A handbreadth is this distance right here, from the end of your thumb to the end of this little finger. That's a handbreadth. And David said, you have made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. So today, we just, in our remembrance of Eli, and to tell a little of his story, of his narrative. Eli wrote that for today. And I believe we should establish at the very beginning here that Eli's heart was pointed in the right direction. And in Eli's last month or so, he was here at church. He'd sat over on that right-hand side, was here quite regularly. And I got a chance to speak to him at the last Sunday and in my office there. And I told him, I said, we were going back and forth and just talking about just his renewed zeal to get his life back together. And I said, you are a young man who God has given a second chance to. And I said, you want to take those days and invest them. You want to take them and use them wisely. Because I said, God in his mercy has allowed you to be free of so many things. And he had a real determination to turn his life around. And I talked to him very very pointedly, and I said, now, Eli, who he was about to start some therapy, which would have started 2 days from now, and had signed up for that voluntarily. And he was making some improvements and strides in his life. And I said, Eli, I said, now, you know, you understand that therapy is not a new birth. And I said, attending church is not a new birth. It's a good thing. And I said, you should do that. And it's a wonderful thing. And I said, we're so happy to see you here. And he said, I know that. And he said, I have in my heart, he said, to do all that I can. But I know there are some things that God can do. And I explained to him, and most of you would know that, you know, it takes the Lord for a man to stand strong. It takes Christ in your life to be able to use our days wisely and to be able to resist the temptations that Satan would throw against us. And I encouraged him to capitalize on the opportunity he now had to surrender and put his life into God's control. Because even though we may not think so, youth does not protect us from death. Nor does strength or determination. Our time on this earth is determined and the plans have already been drawn up. And it will do us well for every young person today. And so many of you that are here that knew Eli over his lifespan. You have to think, why Eli? And why not me? But I will say this, that I believe the reason God took him may be beyond our understanding at the moment. But I believe that he would still be here if he was not ready to be there. If it was not best in God's providence, I believe that Eli would still be here. But I believe that he's over there because he was ready to be over there and God took him. There may have been things laid ahead of him that were too difficult for him. We do not know. And we may never know on this earth. But we do know that his heart was leaning the right way. And in the past few weeks of his life, he was determined. One of you young men that are here, and I don't know exactly who it is, received a phone call from Eli 2 days before he was taken from us. And he was explaining to you and telling you that he had gotten his life back turned around and he's wanting to serve the Lord and wanting to live the right kind of a life. And I'm not sure exactly who that was. But that was his story. That was his testimony. Brother Jason Ashdown, who's sitting over here, went to clean out Eli's car after the accident and took out some of his personal belongings. And when he went through the car, this was one of the things that he had found. This is a booklet that I had done for the church called How to Study Your Bible. And it had examples of Bible studies and ways that you could study your Bible. This was found in Eli's car. And he has his name on the top here, Eli Britton. I don't know that Eli was even in church when we did that study, which was a year or two ago. But he had that in his car. I have Eli's Bible here. And in the front page of Eli's Bible, in the very front piece, for April 2nd, 2021, and he was at the Louisiana camp, and he writes down the date of each one of the services that was there. And then 4/4/21, Louisiana camp, he said, the day I turned my life around. In his own writing. We are not here in question at all about where Eli is. To us, Eli is not lost. We know exactly where he is. Amen. We're going to trust in those promises, just like Brother Yvonne said. Mark Twain once said, he said, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you understand why. I believe that Eli knew he was put here on this earth for more than just fun and just social life and all of that. I believe there was something in him that was pulling him towards the kingdom, especially in the last days of his life. Romans chapter 8 tells us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Let me add to that. Shall friends pull us away? Shall drugs pull us away? Shall big city life pull us away? Paul writes this. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, he says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Brother Branham said, God never put us here to die. He put us here to live. He never put us here to have funeral services. God put us here to be happy children, to rejoice forevermore. And even though sin marred the picture, the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. And I say this today to you, that when we see Eli again, it will not be exactly as we last saw him. But I believe this with all my heart. We will see him in the perfect person God intended him to be. Amen. We will see him as the perfect person God intended him to be. He just got there early. He got there ahead of us. And we are the people now that remember him. Paul said, "For I am ready now to be offered," in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. "I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not only to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." It's a beautiful thing to know that if we have hope only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. But believers know that there's something beyond this life, something that we go to. And life continues. And a believer really cannot be dead when they're still so alive. And they're still so alive among us and in our hearts. The word departure that Paul used, he said, "I'm ready now for my departure." It is used, it's actually a naval term, a nautical term, which means that now this vessel has pulled up its anchor and it's lowered the sails and it's pulled away from its moorings and it's ready to drift out into the sea. Or like a military term, when an army breaks camp and they're ready to move on. It also means in the Greek culture, it meant for somebody who was bound by chains that they would be free. So when that word departure is used, it meant that they were now unshackled and they were able to go where they were intended to go. And I believe that's what this death is described as in the Bible. Here we are anchored in the hardships and the heartaches of this life. But in death, the gangway is raised, the anchor is pulled, and we set sail for that other shore. In death, we break camp in order to meet in that other place. There was an old pastor who died in around 1900, and as he lay on his deathbed, a friend came to him and said, "Are you afraid? Please," he said, "tell me frankly, are you afraid for the crossing of the river?" And Pastor Chandler leaned up on one of his elbows, and the last thing he said to his friend was, he said, "I have no fear. I belong to a father who owns the land on both sides of the river." Amen. Hallelujah. I love this little story, and I'll end with this. There was a man whose name was Henry Van Dyke, lived in the 1800s, and he wrote this upon the passing of a friend of his. And he said, "I'm standing upon the seashore, and a ship at my side spreads her sails into the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. And it's an object of beauty and strength." He said, "It's so large, and I stand and watch her until at length she goes like a speck of cloud where the sea and the sky come together. And then someone at my side says, 'There she's gone.' And I said, 'Gone where?' 'Gone from my sight, that's all. She is just as large in mast and hull as she was when she left my side. And she is just as able to bear the load of freight going to her destined port. Her diminished size," listen now, "her diminished size," he said, "is in me, not in the ship. And just at the moment when somebody over here says, 'He's gone,' there are other eyes watching him coming and saying, 'Here she comes.'" So we look at Eli as gone from us. But someone was looking on the other side and said, "Here he comes." We who believe, believe that. We who believe, trust in those promises. Because it's not an ending of life. It's really a beginning. Brother Branham said also in Questions and Answers, he said, "How that must be a beautiful thing for the father to look down and see his child coming home and holding his position in Christ and his faith and his confession and say, 'I'm saved by the grace of God,' and there stand in the hour of death and hold their profession." To Brother Sam and Sister Nadia and the family, we cannot take your place today. But as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can at least walk with you and let you know that we love you. We stand arm in arm with all of you and say that You are a special people. You've been a special family to Eli. We know that God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher. His ways are always perfect. And so therefore, we trust in the providence of God and the wisdom of God to know exactly when to take someone home. So we stand with you and we pray for you. I'm going to ask if Brother Josh Bennett would come. And Josh is the fourth pastor. Josh, would you come and close in prayer? And then right after Brother Josh prays, if you come on over this way, Brother Josh, and close in a word of prayer, we're going to play Eli's favorite song. And I'm sure you'll know the song, and we would love to have you sing along with it as well, sung by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, close to home. And so I thank you all again for being here today, and may the Lord give comfort as only He can. And He described Himself as the Prince of Peace, and He's able to give peace where there is no peace. He's able to give us understanding and at least a calmness and assurance in heart when we can't always understand why. But we do know this, that God never loses control. So may God bless you as a family and the extended family. It's wonderful to see how close you are and how supportive you all have been to the Britons over these days. And may God continue to give you the grace that's needed to put one foot in front of the other one in the days ahead. We're going to ask Brother Josh Bennett to close, and then we'll play Eli's favorite song. Brother Josh.
Let's just bow our hearts together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this life that you've given. Lord, we know that all life comes from you, and we can each one say that we've been blessed and touched. Lord, it was not a wasted life, but Lord, it was a life that touched us in special ways. And as it's already been said, to each one of us, maybe it meant something different, but yet we can say today that it's influenced us and shaped us. And maybe even Brother Eli didn't realize what an impact that he would have. But as we look around today and we see all the faces and the people that's gathered here, we realize just how much his life meant. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We just ask now that you just come in a special way and minister to the family, Lord. Lord, we know that you're a comforter. And Lord, you alone can comfort the heart, and the words that we would say would never be enough, but it would just take the Holy Spirit to just reach down. And I think about the words of the prophet when he said, the resurrection means so much to me, because he began to speak about how that there would come a day that the family would be gathered together one more time. And he started talking about how that a mother is never happy until all her children are sitting around the table. And he said, Lord, we know there's a day coming when all the family will be gathered again. Yes, Lord. Lord, he spoke about the great majestic fingers of God that would reach down and begin to untangle and unravel all the questions that may lay on our minds. Questions of why, or things that we don't understand. But Lord, there's a day coming, Lord, when you'll just reach down your hand and begin to unravel all those things. And Lord, then we'll understand it better by and by. God, we're so thankful for your presence that's been here today and the words that have been spoken by your ministers. And Lord, the grace that you have given, because Lord, as I've watched this family over the last several days, Lord, I've seen the grace of God on display in such a way, Lord, that I know that there's a strength in them that only you could give. And Lord, I pray that that same grace and strength would just carry them through. And Lord, the days that lay ahead and the hard times to come, Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, that you would just be present there with them every moment, all those nights. And Lord, those times, God, when it's just overwhelming. Lord, I pray, God, that the God of peace would just reach down in love. And Lord, may you just pull them up close to you. And Lord, may they feel the tender hand of Jehovah wrap around them in such a special way, and may the love of God carry them through. Grant it, Lord, I pray. Lord, we thank you once again, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on Him are radiant, they'll never be ashamed, they'll never be ashamed. This Corbin cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds His saints. He will deliver them. He will deliver them.
Bless the Lord. good. He'll give you everything.